have our Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. Today is known in the Christian church as the day of Pentecost. So many Christian churches set aside this day and they celebrate Pentecost, the day that the Holy Spirit descended upon the church in a sign of tongues of fire and empowered the church for what was before them. And this happens 50 days after the resurrection, 50 days after Passover. And we've kept it on the church calendar, and not every year we give attention to it, but this year I felt in my heart to give attention to it and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us and remind us with regard to the call of the church and the time that we're living in, that we need Pentecost like never before. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, when they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven, when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hear them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts of Judaism, Cretans, and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. So this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that you have just encouraged me to bring this morning, oh Lord. As it has encouraged me, Father, I pray that it would encourage your people, that it would bring us to a place of evaluation, bring us to a place of longing for more of you, Lord. I pray that today, oh God, this word would speak to our hearts and resonate within us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. So today I want to speak on the theme, an encounter with Pentecost. An encounter with Pentecost. We come to know what this world needs is the spirit of Pentecost, right? As a car needs gasoline, and nowadays as a car needs to be charged, we know that the church in itself also needs the spirit of Pentecost. It needs the power of God to be effective in the call that God has placed in us. As the pandemic has touched every corner of the world, and it has brought every knee to bow, what this world needs is the spirit of Pentecost to reach every corner, every nation, every tribe, every person. It is God's spirit that brings life. It is God's spirit that brings healing and restoration and revival. What this world needs is the spirit of Pentecost. As we read in Acts chapter 2, and if you go back to some of my past sermons when we were talking about the works of Christ and we finished with the ascension of Jesus, after the ascension of Jesus, 10 days later occurs the day of Pentecost. Jesus had been on earth for 40 days after the resurrection, And then after the resurrection, 40 days he ministered to the disciples. He ascended. 10 days later is the day of Pentecost. Throughout those 10 days, we know that the disciples had gone to the upper room and prayed. About 120 of them prayed. And they prayed because they had been waiting on what Jesus had said. Jesus told them, don't leave Jerusalem until you have received power, until you have received the Comforter, the Counselor, which I am sending. And we know that Jesus was telling them, it's someone just like me that's going to come and is going to help you. So for that reason, don't leave Jerusalem until that time. The Advocate will come to help you. And we know that the Bible teaches us that after 10 days of the 120 in the upper room praying, waiting, seeking God, not knowing what was next, not knowing how the Comforter or the Counselor would come. In fact, if we could try to think what they were thinking at that time, we would think that as Jesus ascended, they thought that someone would ascend just like Christ. And that's how it happened. But it didn't. He didn't ascend in person, but he ascended in the Holy Spirit in tongues of fire that came upon the church, that came upon the 120. And it came upon them in such a powerful way that we read that they began to speak other native tongues, other languages that were understood in Jerusalem. Why? Because we knew that they were celebrating the Passover. So many Jews came back to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And while they were celebrating the Passover, the 120, the disciples were praying and waiting on God. And it's during this time that the Holy Spirit falls on them and they began to speak these native languages that the people celebrating the Passover understood. Amen. Yeah. And they understood the praises of God being done in their name, being said in their language. The praises of God being said in language that they understood. And in fact, they hear it and they say, something weird is happening there. They actually thought that they were drunk because of the way that they were acting. But that day started a great revival in the church. It was a teaching to us that the gospel would be for every language, for every tongue, for every nation. And as we look today and we would ask, well, how has Pentecost affected us today? How has Pentecost affected the church? Well, it reminds us that the Holy Spirit came 2,000 years ago. And it reminds us that as Jesus ascended, someone like him descended and came upon the church. And we're not alone, but we have God that walks with us and lives with us each and every day. When we think about how Pentecost has affected us, it reminds us of the Great Commission. It reminds us of the great call upon the church to preach the nation to every tongue, to every language. We're reminded that God confirmed the Great Commission to go out and preach the gospel, baptizing people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Pentecost is a reminder and an affirmation to the Great Commission. When we think about how Pentecost has affected us, it reminds us that God's power was poured upon God's people. That he not only calls us with a commissioning, but he has empowered us to do the great work. And what we cannot do in our own strength, the Holy Spirit helps us to accomplish the very things that he has entrusted us to do. It was a confirmation. Pentecost was a confirmation of what Jesus had said. It was a reminder to the disciples that Jesus truly is the Son of God. Yes, he died, he resurrected, but his word was affirmed because he told them that he would send them the Comforter, the Advocate, the Counselor, one like him. And it was an affirmation to them that Jesus once again did not fail them, but he is true to his word. When we think about Pentecost, it also reminds us that it affirms the Old Testament. Because the prophet Joel had talked and shared that the Spirit of God would descend upon all people. And it was an affirmation of the words of the prophet that they can trust what the prophets had said. And when we think about Pentecost, it's a reminder to us that the church of Christ is different than the whole world. There is a distinctive within the church of Jesus that is different than the whole world, and that is the power of God. That is the gifts of the Spirit that flow through the church for the edification and the building up of the body of Christ and for the redemption of the lost. And it is a reminder to the church that Pentecost poured upon the church not only commissions the church, but it empowers us. It's a reminder to us that we're just not a religious people that follows laws or regulations or rules. But Pentecost is a reminder to us that God's divine power has manifested upon each and every one of us and upon the church to bring change to this world we live in. And the church says, amen. So Pentecost is a reminder to us of many things. It's a reminder to us that God has commissioned and called the church, the words of Jesus, that we're not alone, that we're called to every nation. The filling of the Holy Spirit is for the church of Acts chapter 2, and it's for the church of today as well. God wants to see the church filled with His Spirit, filled with His power, right? When one is filled with God's Spirit, you know, we enjoy a life of victory, a victorious life over temptation, a victorious life over sin. We enjoy the peace that God has for us. We enjoy power to witness, power to live the life that God has called us to live, to know that as the Holy Spirit has been empowered in our life, that we live in God's designed will for our lives. And this is important for the church. If not, then we're just religious people that come in and out of church. We're just knowledgeable people that know Scripture and know Bible. But if the power of God, if the working of the Holy Spirit, if the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not active in us and through us, then that means that we're just religious. We've just come to know that we're lacking experience. And I love that even the Apostle Paul, when he writes to the church of Ephesians, he tells them, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But he tells them, be filled with the Spirit of God. It's a challenge for them. It's a reminder to them that there is more than just being sealed with God's Spirit, but He's calling us to be filled with His Spirit. You see, once we come to Christ, Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that we are marked with God's Spirit. We are sealed with God's Spirit. That He takes ownership of us, right? That we belong to Him. But there is something else that happens. It's the Holy Spirit seals us, right, for an inner work. But His Spirit baptizes us for an exterior work. See, He works within us to save us. But as He continues to work within us, it's not only just an interior work, but He empowers us for an exterior work. And He wants to use the church. He wants us to be available to Him for His glory and for His honor, to fulfill the great commissioning, to be faithful to the call, to understand that He has called us in fellowship with Him. He has called us as co-workers with Christ to do the thing that God has called us to do. We are reminded that we all have been entrusted with a ministry of reconciliation. We've all have been entrusted with spiritual gifts for the edification of the church and for the salvation of the lost. This world needs Pentecost. The Spirit of Pentecost does not channel itself from the church into people, but it channels itself from people into the church. It's the Holy Spirit of God that works within us so that we can serve the church and the lost. In fact, God will save anyone, but He's looking for a particular type of person to impart His spiritual gifts. God will save anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But He's looking for a particular type of person that He could entrust His spiritual gifts. Someone that would say, Lord, I am available to be used by You. Pentecost has everything to do with making ourselves available for God's dunamis, God's power to be manifested in our lives. So when we think about this, It's always important to go back to where it all started. It's always important to go back to where it all began. What was the church of the upper room doing on the day that Pentecost descended upon them? As we can look at the church of the 120, as we can look at them on the day of Pentecost, what were they doing that was the day that God descended upon them and showed them that Pentecost would change the world? Looking at that story, I have a few observations I want to share with you. How can we embrace the spirit of Pentecost? And looking at the church, what is it that we should do? What can we learn from the church of the 120 to enjoy not just being sealed, but being filled and baptized? The first thing that we could learn from them, how can we embrace the spirit of Pentecost? The first thing, through steadfast prayer. We looked, and the Bible says they all joined together constantly in prayer. The Bible reminds us that the 120 went to pray. They didn't know what else to do. Jesus had ascended. They had not seen Jesus for 10 years. Jesus told them, don't go anywhere. Stay in Jerusalem until you receive the comforter, the counselor, the advocate, the paracletos. Right? So he tells them, so this is what they know. And they go pray. They learned prayer through Jesus. The Bible says that early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus used to get up and he used to go pray. The Bible says that he often withdrew to lonely places to pray. Jesus knew that he had to pray in different times and in different seasons. Even on the cross, he prays, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They saw prayer in Jesus, and they knew in this time of uncertainty, let us pray to the Father. They knew this. They knew that it was important for them to pray, because prayer aligns our will with God's will. It makes us sensitive to what God wants to do. In fact, the prophet said, call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Jeremiah, he writes this with regard to the words of God. He says, call to me. God says, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and hidden things that you do not know. Sometimes we don't know the hidden things that God has for us because we haven't set aside time to pray. Right? Oh, prayer draws us closer to God's will and God's way. The Lord is near to those who call him. The Lord hears those who call him. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. And he hears the desires of those who cry out to him. So prayer is an important part of the church. We're reminded as believers and Christians, if we want the spirit of Pentecost, there must be a time of separation. There must be a time of prayer. Throughout this week, I was reading the story of Moses on how he would separate from the camp, is what Exodus says. He would separate from the camp, from the people, and he would establish a tent of meeting. And he would go there and pray. And the Bible says that the glory of God would descend upon that place. I love that he separated himself, because I know that many of us, we pray on our way to work, and that's good. And I know that we pray when we're doing the dishes, and that's wonderful. I'm not discouraging that. I think we need to do those things. Constantly be meditating, constantly talking to the Lord. But there's something special about the person that separates himself from the camp, just with the purpose to talk to God. Separates himself from the people. Separates himself from the camp. Looks at the teaching of Jesus that says early in the morning, he separated himself to talk to the Father. Something happens to those that enter into the tent of meeting with God. We could approach that tent of meeting in a spirit of expectation that God's glory is going to descend and we're going to have a one-to-one encounter with God. That we could approach the tent of meeting knowing that God is attentive to our prayer, and not only knowing that he's attentive, that he wants to meet us there, that he wants to descend. And I love that in that chapter it says that God will talk to Moses as he was a friend. See, if we want the spirit of Pentecost, if we want to be filled with God's spirit, there must be a strong discipline of prayer, of seeking the Lord, of separating ourselves and knowing that God wants to speak to our lives. And we can align our will with his will, and we can be sensitive. So if we want to encounter Pentecost, we must persevere in prayer. And the church says, amen. How do we encounter Pentecost? We encounter Pentecost through steadfast prayer. We encounter Pentecost through consecration. When we look at the 120, we look at the upper room. So I said that they were celebrating the Passover feast. So it is said that a couple of million of Jews would come back to celebrate the Passover feast, those who had been dispersed out to other nations, and they would come back and they would celebrate Passover. And it was a couple of million is said to be there. And we could see the atmosphere of that celebration. We could see it because when they saw the disciples speaking in their native languages, they said, look, man, they're drunk. They've been on drinking all night long. The atmosphere that they discern tells us how they were living there. And I want to use this point to share with you, the 120 did not go into the city, but they stayed in Jerusalem. They did not want to be a part of something that they knew would not edify their walk, would not edify their lives. They choose consecration. They choose separation. They choose holiness. They choose to be different than the world. They consecrated themselves. We as a church, we must know that God has called us for consecration, for separation. There must be a difference between the church and the world. Not a prideful difference. Not a prideful difference. No, we all know that we're just beggars that have found bread. And we find ourselves under the grace of God and the mercy of God. And if it's not for the grace of God or the mercy of God, we would be lost in our shame, in our sin, in our addictions. But the grace of God has reached us there. So we're just beggars that have found bread. So we don't take a stance in any self-righteousness, no. But we do understand that God has called us for a life of consecration. There must be a difference. Could it be that at times we don't see the spirit of Pentecost? We don't see the power of God manifesting itself the way that it should, the way that we wish it would. We don't see certain things. We don't see at times the gifts of the Spirit flowing the way that we wish they did, because perhaps within the church of Christ, there lacks consecration. Could it be that at times we have compromised and we are allowed tolerance? How much are we allowed to do? When that question is asked, the heart is not in the right place. How much am I allowed to at least do? It shows us that something is wrong. Or perhaps within the church, the spirit of relevancy. I want to look so much like the world, we want to attract them. The world knows that what they need is something different than who they are. And the church must stand and understand that we've been called to be different. We're called to talk different, to walk different, to love differently, to respond differently. The church is called to represent Christ well on this earth. It is consecration that invites the spirit of Pentecost to descend itself upon this lost world. And the Bible reminds us of this. The Bible tells us we are not sons. The Bible tells us that we are sons of light and sons of day. We do not belong to the night, nor do we belong to the darkness. The Bible tells us this. The Bible says that we are the salt of the world, indicating there is a difference between the church and the world. The Bible tells us that there's two roads. There's a wide road that leads to destruction and a narrow road that leads to life. The church must choose consecration. I want to encourage you. I want to take this moment to encourage you to evaluate your home and evaluate your lives and evaluate the things that you do. Evaluate the things that you have hidden. Evaluate the things that you battle with and ask the Lord to help you, because he's called us for consecration. And the church says, if we want an encounter with Pentecost, there must be consecration. We must separate ourselves from the things that we know do not please the Lord. So how do we embrace Pentecost? Through steadfast prayer, through consecration. Number three, through perseverance. Through perseverance. I love that when we look at the 120, they stayed in the upper room for 10 days and they prayed and they sought the Lord. They waited on God. They persevered. It wasn't an easy time for them. They were concerned about persecution. It had just been 50 days since Jesus had been crucified. They were struggling. They were perhaps scared for their lives. They didn't know what the future held. They didn't know what the advocate ascending from heaven would look like, would mean. They didn't know, but they persevered. They persevered. They were steadfast, and they waited. Today, at times, we see that when things get too hard, people don't want to wait. We don't want to persevere. We want to throw in the towel quickly. People throw in the towels, even in things like marriages, and they throw in the towel in things like relationships, and they give up quickly in times of testing. They don't want to work hard through some of the things that we're called to push through. We just want it easy, and when it doesn't come easy, we think that God is not in it because the door is not wide open, but yet God is calling us to persevere. It's calling us to push through. Today in age, we've even seen so much stagnation with regard to, even at times, church attendance. Today I am preaching to the choir here because you're all here. But at times, as pastors, we've been a little concerned to see the steadfastness that we saw at one time. It's not the same. So Lord, guard us, watch over us. Help us, O Lord, to persevere in all that you have called us to persevere. We are people that walk by faith and we trust God for the next. And we walk by faith believing that he will lead us and help us in all circumstances. And he's called us to fight the good fight of the faith, to persevere, to push, and not to give up, to know that he is with us. And it is through persevering that we see the greater good. And it's through waiting on God that we get to see the power of God and the hand of God. It is through those times. Sometimes we just want to see it instantly and we give up and we missed out on God's miracle, on God's hand, on God's power. I would like to encourage you and remind you that the Bible says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Paul writes to Timothy and it tells him, if we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. John in Revelation says, I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. Jesus said these words in Matthew 24, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. I want to encourage you to persevere. The church of God must be a church of perseverance, must be a church that is steadfast and moving forward and believing God for the next. This world is waiting for the church to give up. This world is waiting for the church to change. But we know that no one can discourage the church of God. We are called into victory. And I want to remind you, in this life that you're living, no one should be so influential over your life to discourage you from the very work of the Holy Spirit in you and through you. Never give anyone so much influence in your life that you move away from the very thing that God has placed in your heart. It is a season of perseverance. And if we want to see Pentecost, if we want to see God move, then we must persevere in all that God has called us to. And the church says, amen. So as we are embracing Pentecost, encountering Pentecost, we will do it through steadfast prayer. We will do it through consecration. We will do it through perseverance. And I'm just going to share one more with you. We will do it through availability. I love that the 120 were available. When the Spirit of God came upon them, they made themselves available. Peter stood up and he preached. Just 53 days before this, He denied Jesus when approached. But here, with the power of Pentecost over his life, he stands up and he preaches, and thousands give their heart to Jesus. If we want God to use us, we must be available. I love the words of the prophet Isaiah when he hears the voice of the Lord. He says, "Here I am, send me." He makes himself available and he says, "Lord, use me." The Lord wants to use us in our availability. He wants to use us for his work, for his power, for his glory, and for his might. He wants to use us to do the good work. He wants to use us to edify the church and to rescue the lost. God wants to use you and me. I love that the Apostle Paul reminds us that we've been given this ministry, that he has entrusted this to us. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12:7, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." I love this. So God hasn't given us the gifts of the Spirit so that we can think that we're spiritual, so that we can look spiritual or sound spiritual. No, but he's given us the gifts of the Spirit for the common good, to serve the other, to be a blessing, to share the good news. You see, God is looking for people that want to pour into other people. God is looking for people that are not looking to lift themselves up, but are looking to lift somebody else up. God is looking for people that want to be a blessing to other people. It's about the work of God here on earth. Pentecost affirms this. So today, I want to remind you, I want to ask you, are you making yourselves available? Lord, here I am, send me. Use me to encounter Pentecost. You see, we grew up in the church. Many of us grew up in the church. Some of us have come a little bit later. I remember as a child, and we were talking about Pentecost, being a Pentecostal church. They would tell us, if you want to be baptized, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, go into your room, lock the door, and pray until it happens. Now, that's not bad advice. Go lock yourself in the room and pray and seek the Lord. I think that's good. But to experience Pentecost is more than just locking ourselves in a room and praying. Yes, we need steadfast prayer, but we need consecration as well. We need to separate ourselves from the world. There needs to be a difference between the church and the world. God wants to entrust his power, his gifts, to a church that does not look like the world, to a church that wants to rescue the world. There must be separation. There must be perseverance. It's not just about, today I'm good and tomorrow I'm not. Today I'm steadfast in church and tomorrow I'm not. Today I'm faithful in these things and tomorrow I'm not. No, there must be perseverance within the church throughout longevity, throughout time, that we will pass the test of time and that the Holy Spirit sees that we are available. Lord, I make myself available. We make ourselves available, that the Lord would use us, and that at the end of it all, he would get all the glory and he would get all the praise. We make ourselves available that his gifts would flow through the church for the edification of the church and for the salvation of the lost. This is what Pentecost is all about. And the church says, amen. So as I close our teaching this morning, I remind you the effects of Pentecost. It reminds us that the Holy Spirit came. And the Holy Spirit reminds us that we are not alone. That he walked with us. That we have deity. We have God who walked with us. And he has called us to reach all nations of all people. And that his power is manifested upon our lives. And the words of Jesus are confirmed and affirmed once again. And we can trust the whole scripture. And what makes the church different than the whole world is that the Holy Spirit of God is upon us to lead us, to guide us, and to empower us to do all that God has entrusted us to do. So today, as we close our teaching, I want to encourage you to embrace Pentecost. Embrace being filled with God's Spirit. Yes, you are sealed. The day that you gave your life to Jesus, you are sealed with His Holy Spirit that works in you. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, is a reminder of God's work outward, that He wants to use us to edify the church and to rescue the lost. And that will only come to a people that are steadfast in prayer, in consecration, in perseverance, that make themselves available. And God uses those people for His glory and for His honor. And the church says that we would wake up in the morning and say, Lord, we make ourselves available to You. That we would wake up in the morning and we say, God, that Your gifts would flow through me for the edification of the church and the salvation of the lost. But that we would know that He's entrusting it to us, not because we're in any means super spiritual, but because we have recognized that we need Him for the great call upon our lives. I'm going to invite you to stand. Perhaps there's someone here today that you need, and you feel like, you know what, I need a change of life. I feel lost. I need Jesus. I'm living a life that I know Him, but I really haven't come to know Him. Today is the day of salvation. Maybe there's someone here today who says, I believe that God has called me for something greater than what I'm living, and I'm stuck, I'm stagnant. And I know that I need to persevere in some of these things that we've talked about here today a little bit more. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, as we sing this next song, I'm going to ask you to be bold and come forward. I want to pray with you a prayer of salvation that will change your life forever. And if you're part of the church and you say, the Lord is talking to me, He's calling me for more. He's calling me not just to experience salvation, but to make myself available for the edification of the church and the salvation of the lost. And you would like prayer as we sing this next song. The altar is open. We would love to pray with you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.